made it one step further than last time, and I
got this attached this time. Firstly, Pete, can I ask you for some help? I just need this table right about there. Okay, so this is my office. This is my lounge to the right, your left. So I'll just arrange some paperwork. That goes there. That goes there. I thought last week when I saw Jack with his glasses on that he might have stolen my my intro, but he didn't. Okay. How are you all? Okay. It's real funny. Last year, I missed this one Sunday at church in particular that I really regretted missing for a softball tournament. So this year, I made sure I was on the committee, and I said to them, I was like, you know what? We should make our tournament Saturday this year. I think that's a good idea. And then our reserve day is Sunday, and it's the same weekend. And the Saturday is going to be perfect weather anyway because I'm going to pray for it. And we can have it all done and dusted, and I can make it to church. So that was last Saturday. And I really empathise with James because right before the tournament, like, and I'm literally getting in my car and this friend just hits me with all of these things that I've done wrong in the last 2 or 3 months. But I can't talk with you about it right now because I'm quite busy, so let's make a date in about 3 weeks to talk about it. And I'm just standing there reading my message like, oh, okay. You've got to be kidding me. And I get to the tournament, and our first game, we had 4 games in 5 hours. And our first game, we just got smashed. We got like 45 minutes in before we got them out. We got 3 batters through, which is 3 up, 3 down. Then they were in again. I didn't even get a bat. And I'm like, oh, my day is awesome. Then what happens is we had a bye, and I said to the coach, I'm like, oh, you know what we should do? We should start where we left off. So the three people that have had a bat, they just become 987. And then number 4, who was number 4 the last game, becomes number 1. She goes, great, you're number 3. And I'm like, yes, I'm going to at least get a bat. And I'm quite competitive. Like, I come from a cricket background. So in cricket, to steal Marshall Mathers, you've got one shot, one opportunity. You miss it, you get bowled, that's it, you're done for the game. In softball, you've got at least 6. So you can go up to 4 balls... and 3 strikes, so you got 7 shots, unless you foul, and then you can just keep on going to like 30, 40, 50. However many times you foul, you don't get out. So I'm like super competitive. I'm like, yes, this is my game. Like, I'm in a much better mood now. And usually I'm like all about the home runs. I'm all about smashing it. I just try smash it. The first ball comes in, and I'm like, should have hit it. But in softball, because you're not standing in the direct line of the ball, so if you miss a good one, it's not going to hit you. So you're just standing there like, oh, yeah, I should have hit that. And then the next one, I shouldn't have hit it, but I hit it. And it just flew over the outfield. Such a great feeling. And she's holding up her glove, and it's like this far above her glove, and it just goes flying. And my problem is coming from cricket, that I just kind of stand there and watch it, because in cricket, you don't have to run. Like, if you hit it really good, you're just like, oh, and then I'm like, ooh, drop my bat, run. Because you have to drop your bat. If your bat makes it to first base, you're out. So there's no point in hitting it big if you forget to drop your bat, right? So I'm running. I'm not very good at running. I get to third base, and I'm standing there like, yeah, I should have got home off that, but I'm not very fast at running. And then God just hits me, because I wasn't like, you know, usually I'd be really disappointed. And this Saturday, I wasn't really disappointed. And God just hit me with a different perspective. You might not have got home, but you got 3 others home. You might have missed out on your 1 run, but 3 other people got home. And then I made it home anyway off the next hit, right? And he just hit me, and I'd had this real weird feeling. Like, last time I shared communion, and I'm about where Brendan and I are, and I like shed communion, and then I get back to my seat, and God just hits me with this word. I've never had that before. And then, so then the intro, that was my intro to this morning. I just went really feel in my heart to share about perspectives, about a new perspective and a different perspective. Because I think if anybody knows about perspectives, maybe it's James and I. I don't know. I realise about when I set my alarm at midnight that it's daylight saving, 4 hours sleep, get up, it's just sitting there getting ready, my nose just bleeds everywhere, like floods. I'm like, okay, sort that out. Pick up my lipstick, breaks all over the floor. Like, I'm just like, okay, I feel like this word must be really important and someone's trying to get in my way and someone's trying to stop it. And my whole week's been like that. I'm supposed to be house-sitting for Ben and Beck, but my car broke down. So then I turn up to work at 7 o'clock. We open at 7:30 the next day. And while my car's broken down, it's at the garage, and so are my car keys to get in. My work keys, to get in the building. So I'm outside for half an hour. So I walk in at 29 past 7, and the parents walk in at 30 past 7. Like, this is fantastic. Like, my whole, like, just anything that could go wrong has gone wrong, and it's just like, where's my thinking? Where's my perspective? Because sometimes we need to take off our rose-coloured glasses. But like the ones down the front that Jack was trying to find a home for, sometimes you've got to take off your dark glasses. And I think at work, maybe I've been wearing dark glasses, and the lady I took over, like, it was head teacher over two rooms, but then we kind of separated. So I'm like, that's all good. She's a bit of a control freak, but she can have her own room and I can have my own room. Then she stepped down as team leader, so now it's like, oh, I'm leading you too. You know, I'm leading someone who likes to control me. And I had to take off my dark glasses and be like, no, God, actually, what's happening here? What's going on here? But we actually need to pick up God's glasses and just be like, Lord, what are you trying to teach me here? What are you trying to show me here? What's going on here? What's behind this? You know, if I take off my perspective of this situation, what's really going on? So show me two things, right? Oh, we need this pen. I saw that before. So the first thing he showed me was sometimes we can see God's like on his couch, right? So he's just sitting there chilling. I don't know if he does crosswords. He might be able to work out like four down. I don't know. I can never work out four down. I can work out five or six and then I make a mistake and I'm out, you know? But anyway, the picture is that God knows everything, you know? Right, here's yesterday. Man, there's so much stuff happened yesterday. Check it out. Is this lady here? No, sorry. He's got our book, right? He's written it, so he knows what's going to happen. He knows all the decisions that we're going to make. He knows all the situations we're going to encounter. But sometimes we can be like, oh, he doesn't care anyway. Is he watching? Is he listening? Because, yep. So tomorrow at 9 o'clock in the morning, this lady's going to come talk to you, and here's what you're going to say, you know? So sometimes we can think about God as, like, he knows everything anyway, and sometimes in that moment we can be like, what's the point, right? If we're in, like, a really not good headspace. So then the desk. Anybody here love getting called into their boss's office? Anybody? Isn't it like we're accustomed to believe since we're like 5 years old that if we get called into the principal's office, we're in trouble. If we get like, I need to catch up with you, I need to talk to you, and your first thought is usually, I'm in trouble. So you're looking at it like, so yesterday I told a little lie, got into a little bit of trouble, I didn't react to that properly, my brother annoyed me and I told him what I thought of it. You know, so we get called into that office and sometimes we can see God as the boss, or as the teacher, or as the judge, or as the, this is, he knows everything, and he's just writing it all down, and he's just going to, like, lay it all down at some point, you know? And I was talking to Livy about it, like, last weekend. It's like, it's funny how sometimes if we become a little bit disconnected, and if we come a little bit like we're not in those same circles and not in those same friend groups, then all of a sudden our failures, our things that we've done that we maybe shouldn't have done have become really big. But, you know, actually God's sitting there like, actually in the context it's not, just like James was saying, like, you know, even just that split second later, you can just get right back to that right place with God. And just like last time I preached to, we'll probably be done quite quickly. So the first verse I have is 2 Kings 6. verse 8 to 15, and I thought I don't need my phone, but I've only written down the reference. I haven't written down the verse, so I might just. I know it's up the back, but I like to like read ahead, you know. So this is the story about Elisha, if you guys remember, and I do quite like this story because Elisha was in a pretty good place with God, right? Elisha was getting those secret updates, you know, those secret updates where the king said, I'm going to go find, or I'm going to go here, or I'm going to go here. And Elisha was getting the updates and moving everybody away just in time. So when the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, we will mobilize our forces at such and such a place. But immediately Elisha, the man of God, would warn the king, do not go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops. So the king of Israel would send word to the place indicated by the man of God. Time and time again, Elisha warned the king so that he would be on alert there. The king of Aram became very upset over this. He called his officers together and demanded, which of you is the traitor? Who has been informing the king of Israel of my plans? It is not us, my lord the king, one of the officers replied. Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom. Not sure if I would like that gift. Go and find out where he is, the king commanded, so I can send the troops to seize him. And the report came back, Elisha is at Dothan. So one night, the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. When the servant of the man got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops and horses everywhere. Oh, sir, what will we do now? The young man cried to Elisha. Now, I wonder what this young man is thinking, knowing that every time the king has come for him, Elisha's got everybody out of the way. Now, all of a sudden, he goes outside and there they are. They're confronted by their enemies. Elisha didn't get the message that time, did he? I don't know. Things go wrong, things happen, but what's our perspective in our storm? What's our thought process? Have you ever been in a place where you continually try to do something and it fails? I have. And it's funny how my failures at the moment, like, I've been thinking about it from stepping down from kids' church, so today it felt really weird to see the picture and not have to do anything, but I've been kids church leader for maybe 6-ish years, shy of one term. And when I think about that in the context of my life, I've been through failure, I've been through cafe closure, I've been through sabotage, but I can get that person right back to being one of my closest friends again. I've been through like so many big things. And now it feels like the little things are the things that are tripping me up. Like just those really little things where I'm just like walking along and something just boom when I'm not expecting it. Like yesterday, I'm getting ready, like I've got still a bit of glitter in my hair. I had a bit of a glitz and glam kind of night, which ended at midnight like playing cricket inside cafe eye zone with the tables move back. It was pretty funny. But I'd been helping my friend organise this event for 2 days, like, and then I get to half an hour before we need to go, and she's all done, and I asked her to just help me, and it would have taken like a couple of minutes, and she said no, and I just wasn't prepared for that no, you know, I just was not prepared for it, and she could tell straight away, she's like, oh my gosh, are you okay? Like, it's just a couple of minutes, get over it, and we ended up having this big argument, but it's like, sometimes those little things now are tripping me up, it's not the big thing, it's not like, well, probably could still be the big thing, but it's like all of a sudden I've kept that resolve and kept that resolve and kept that resolve, and then all of a sudden the smallest thing is just tripping me up. And for this young man, I don't know if he saw that army as a big thing or a little thing, but I wonder if he was standing there thinking, every other time we've had the text when they're on their way and we're gone, you know, and now all of a sudden I'm opening the door of my tent and here they are and I'm faced with my enemy face to face. And maybe it was a little bit smart, maybe it was a little bit sarcastic, but he's like, oh sir, what will we do now? You know, Here's the enemy we've been running from, and there they are right in front of us, like, ooh, what are we going to do now, bro? This is on you, because you missed the message. But actually, he could have got the message too, you know. God has the answer, he has the solution, and he has a strategy. And what I love in the next part, do not be afraid, Elisha told him, for there are more on our side than on theirs. And Elisha prayed. I don't know if he was tempted to pray something else. I think I know what I would have prayed if I was praying in that situation, and it wouldn't have been this. O Lord, open his eyes and let them see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. Well, I thought it was the next one down. I would have prayed that. As the Aramean army advanced toward him, Elisha prayed, O Lord, please make them blind. So the Lord struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. I mean, I might have asked for them to just all die, or like choose to go away, or that we would fight them and win, you know? But he chose that different way. He chose that other option. God had his option, you know? And we can look at it with our eyes and our glasses on and say, you know what? I just want to win. I just want to beat these guys once and for all. You know, I've been running away from them, but I want to win. And God's solution was, well, hey, how funny would it be if we made them blind and we led them to a different city and then all of a sudden they could see and they're just like, where are we? You know? So Elisha came out and said to them, you've gone the wrong way. This isn't the right city, guys. Follow me and I'll take you to the man you're looking for. He was the man they were looking for. And he led them to the city of Samaria. As soon as they had entered Samaria, Elisha prayed, O Lord, now open their eyes and let them see. The Lord opened their eyes and they discovered they were in the middle of Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he shouted to Elisha, my father, should I kill them? Should I kill them? Of course not. He's like, duh. If our plan was to kill them, we would have killed them. We wouldn't have gone for a walk to Samaria. Do we kill prisoners of war? Give them food and drink and send them home again to their master. So the king made a great feast for them and sent them home to their master. After that, the Aramean raiders stayed away from the land of Israel. Yeah, I know that feeling, eh? I probably wouldn't have responded by making them dinner. My go-to at the moment's crying. That's a bit different. Yeah, see, some people find that funny. Like last week when I grabbed the tissues and I heard people laughing, it's like, it's what I do now, I cry. You know, like, I had this situation at work where this lady just like, and here I am, head teacher, and she's like, you need to do this and you need to do this, and for 2 hours, like, she's just laying down all these orders, and then I like go to her with our book and I'm like, I'm just in my room with some relievers, can you go do the outside check? And she's like, no. Like an hour later, it still wasn't done, and I had to like make a way to go do it anyway. I'm standing there like, I'm in charge, not you, you know? And then I go home and I see my mum, and I'm like, Mum, you wouldn't believe it. And but I've only got half an hour, and I've got to go back to work now. And then I found the other head teacher who used to be head teacher, and she stepped down, and it's so funny because I just wanted to lose it. I just wanted to lose it at this other lady. And I found the former head teacher, and I like cornered her, and I'm like, Hayley, I just need your help or something. And she's like, it's a bit weird, you don't usually ask for help. And then I just burst into tears, completely uncontrollable. I can't do this anymore, it's just a mess. I'm like having this big meltdown and she's standing there like, okay. And sometimes it's just that perspective needs to change, eh? Because now she's my best friend at work. It's like, she'll help me with anything. Not the one that was controlling me, she's still a bit interesting, but the other lady, she's like my best friend, and those two are really close. So if I can get her on side, I can get the other lady on side. And it's a little bit tricky, and we had more issues on Friday, and I just had my real calm pants on. I'm like, you know what? You're really angry about what's just happened, about what this other teacher has done, but if I was them, I would have done the same thing. Like, there's probably nothing I would have done differently. I think sometimes we're so focused on our ideal that we lose sight of what we have right now And at work, some people are so focused on the perfect team and the ideal team instead of working with the team we have to lift them higher and to take them to a different place. And now this is my crunch, right? I love this. Because God's actually, you know, if you see him sitting on the couch, that's fine. Like, you know, I'm sure sometimes he sits on the couch, you know, have a little drink. Do you reckon God does drink? It's a good question. But he's actually been busy. And he's got a letter for you. I recycled some worship ones, so it actually says, I raise a hallelujah. I am a God of forgiveness, gracious and merciful, slow to become angry, and rich in unfailing love. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and give you a hope. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They can't be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, no matter if I've been to sleep for half an hour, nearly fell over, half an hour, 20 minutes, 15 minutes, however long I've been asleep, God's still there with me. If you see him sitting in an office, there might be times where he needs to sit in the office, like he's got to sort the whole world out, you know? All those time zones. I'm not going to read all of it, but if you see him sitting in an office, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He brought you forth on the day that you were born. I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek the Lord with all your heart, you will find him. Delight in him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. For he gave you those desires. He's able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. He gave up everything he loved. He gave up everything he loved that we might gain his love. If you receive the gift of his son Jesus, you receive him. And nothing, nothing will ever separate you from his love ever again. Did you see what I did there? I took some perspectives that we sometimes have of God to show you that no matter how you see him, busted. His message is this exactly the same. No matter how we see him, his words for us are always the same. No matter if we see him not really caring, pretty relaxed, whatever, he still loves us. He's still powerful. He still has power for us in our life. If we see him, like if we pray, when we pray, it feels like maybe we might get told off because we haven't had a very good week. But his message is still the same. Same yesterday, same today, same tomorrow. It was the same the day before you were born. It was the same 2,000 years ago before you were even a thought in your parents' eyes because they weren't even a thought either. That he loved us and he died for us. And he did it all right there, right then. If we've made a mistake, if we've done something wrong, that was forgiven 2,020 years ago, you know? No matter how we see him, his message is still the same. And I know in Sozo, like, you get your messages and you get your images. And I feel like God's just planted that in my heart. It's like, no matter what's going on in your mind, in your heart, in your reason, in your logic, his message is the same and it always will be the same. It's never going to change. If we're holding on to something, we can't pick up what he has for us. You know, and if I'm holding on to my answer, this is my favorite bit. I tried to make it A3 and then it went that way and we'll just have to like have the A4. But I wanted it bigger because if I'm standing here holding on to my answer, my solution, my way out of this problem, you know, I don't have $1,600 to pay for my car to get fixed. If I'm sitting here thinking of all my answers and all my solutions and all the ways I can think of to make this happen, can you pick up the blue book? please, and try give it to me. If I'm clutching onto my answers so tight and so strong, and this is real heavy, that's why I can't just, even just letting that little finger go, it's quite sore. So I need to keep on holding on to it, you know. I'm never going to get that. And I can try maybe pick it up with my foot, and then I'm going to lose my balance and fall over. Thanks, Jenny. If I'm holding on to my stuff so tight, I'm never going to get what God has for me. And last night, when I finally went to bed quite a lot later than what I should have, and I'm like, I feel great, by the way. And no, that was serious. And I'm lying in bed, and God showed me, like I don't know, kind of like this basket, but bigger. I won't lift the other one because it's a bit heavier. Kind of that, like, he showed me these baskets, right? These baskets and baskets and baskets. You walk into, like, the warehouse distribution center in Rollison or something, all these baskets, all these answers, all these problems. No, sorry, solutions, not problems. Sometimes I get my words around the wrong way. He's got their answer. He's got them for you. My message today is actually, he's got your answer. He has. I don't know what your circumstances are. I don't know what you're going through, I don't know what you're fighting right now, but he has the answer for you, he has a solution for you, and like last week with those altars, I can tell you, I can promise you, like, I had my desires in my hand, to the point where I was so embarrassed, because when I put that rock down, it was wet, because my hands are so sweaty, and I'm looking at in line with everybody else's, and everybody else's, they look like perfect and nice and dirty, and here's mine, and it's like just wet. Because it's like, that was powerful last week, you know? That's like, that's us coming to that place where we're like, yeah, I think I do need to just lay that desire, lay that promise or whatever it is down on that altar, because that message over there was said that God gave me that desire anyway. So if I'm trying to come up with a way to get that, a way to get what he has for me. If I'm coming up with a way to get what he has for me, I'm probably not going to get what he has for me. And just like James said, and it's my last scripture, is Ephesians 6 from verse 10. They say that when you say the last scripture that everybody sinks back in because they're like, oh, 5 minutes maybe. Be strong in the Lord and mighty in his power. Yeah, we'll just go through them quite quick. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. That's 18. So if I'm standing there, right, just get my prop. I do quite like having props. If I'm standing here holding on to something, I can't do that. I can't put the helmet on if I'm holding on to something. I can't put the shoes on if I can take them off. I don't think it broke, not like last night. You should have seen it. So last night I'm getting to this party, right, after all that drama, and I'm wearing these heels, and it came like right down there, and it's just like wagging. So I'm just getting out of the truck, like I always just get out of the car, get out of the whatever, and all of a sudden it just split right off. And I went up to my mate after having this massive argument. I'm like, you want to know something really funny? Check this out. Then all of a sudden these guys are running after me and they're getting super glue and they fixed it up, but they didn't glue the straps in. It was really funny. But that's the long way of saying that if I'm holding on to something, I can't put that stuff on. So if I'm holding on to this, I can't lift that shield. So I'm a little bit more vulnerable. If I'm holding on to something, I can't put that helmet on. So my thinking might become a little bit compromised. You know, if I'm holding on to something, I won't have the right shoes on. I wouldn't go for a really long walk in these because I feel it now, but I think that's getting a bit crampy in my toes, you know. If I don't have the right shoes on, if I don't have God's shoes on, then I can't do what he has for me. And everything I try to do is in my own strength, and everything I try and do is actually just going to fall over. I'm not meaning this to sound like, if there's stuff going wrong, then, ooh. Because I have a lot of stuff going wrong, you know. Like, sometimes we're just in that place where stuff's happening and stuff's going wrong, and it is really difficult and really challenging and really hard. And I just want to encourage you that God's message is just the same, you know. No matter what's happening, no matter where you're at, no matter the things that you're facing, his message for you is just the same, and it's unconditional. I saw all the good ones before, and not right now. But when you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day I will wipe every tear from your eyes, and I will take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your father, and I love you even as I love my son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you. And I tell you that I am not counting your sin. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. And that's the one that hits me, is like, he gave up everything that he loved so that he might gain my love. No matter what's happening, no matter where you've been, and no matter where you're going, his message is the same, and his message is here for you today, that he is for you. He is your number one fan, and he's standing there with the banner, and he's standing there, and he's raising it high, and he's saying, I am for you, I love you, and I gave up everything to have your love. I gave up everything to be reconciled to you. And I just really feel like if you'd like to come forward this morning, and if you'd like to just be like, you know what, maybe I have just been holding on to things and doing a little battle in my own strength, that just come and experience his love again, just experience that touch, experience that, you know, that radical encounter with God where you can't help but leave changed. You can't help but be changed when his spirit, when his presence just comes on your heart, and just, you just get that feeling that he is just so for you. And so I just invite you this morning, whether you want prayer or whether you want to just come and have that time with him, and just, you know, as hard as it is to just lay that down and say, God, I'm ready to carry your answer. I'm ready to carry your solution. I'm ready to carry you more than I have before. Because there's always more than we've ever had, right? Because we get it more and we get more and we get more and we get more. And I just feel like God's saying, if you want more, it's here. It's here. And all these baskets that I can see and that he's given us, and they're right here. There's more for us. There's more here. So if you'd like to stand. Father, Lord, I just thank you for this time where we can come together and we can just shift that perspective, Lord. Shift that focus off whatever it is and onto you. Father, Lord, I just pray that, that Lord, as we come together this morning, that you would just take our offering. Lord, you would just take us and you would match it and multiply it, Lord, and just meet us right here, right now, Lord, with your spirit and in your spirit and your spirit around us, that Lord, we would just leave here changed and leave here different, Lord, whether it's just that different focus, different perspective, that aligning of a couple of degrees, that Father, Lord, you would match that and meet that. In your name I pray, amen.